Dear friends, it's a pleasure to be with you today, which is usually the last day of February, unless it's a leap year, which 2016 is. So happy leap year and happy February 29th tomorrow. Nearly every 4 years is a leap year, which has 366 days, as opposed to a common year, which has 365 days in the Gregorian calendar. What's called a tropical year is one complete orbit of Earth around the sun at 365.2422 days, when the 0.2422 of a day represents 5 hours, 48 minutes, and 45 seconds. So a common calendar year is 365 days and is one quarter of a day short of a tropical year. A leap year is 366 days and is three quarters of a day over a tropical year. So leap days with their addition, leap years with their addition of leap day were needed to keep our modern Gregorian calendar in alignment with Earth's revolutions around the sun. If we didn't add a February 29th nearly every 4 years, we would lose almost 6 hours from our calendar every year. And after 100 years, our calendar would be off by almost 24 days, which would make our seasons shift around our calendar quite uncomfortably. This leap day is called an intercalary day, and it's added to the shortest month of the year, February. And to identify which years are leap years, there are three criteria to take into account. First, a year must be evenly divided by four, except second, the year can be evenly divided by 100. It is not a leap year unless, three, it is also evenly divisible by 400. Then you have a leap year. This means that 2012 was a leap year, this year is a leap year, and the next one will be 2020. But the years 1800 and 1900 were not leap years, nor will the years 2100 and 2300 be leap years. But here's another way to remember this. Century years, those years ending in 00, are leap years if they are divisible by 400. Non-century years are leap years if they are divisible by four. There are special leap years, alternative leap years, leap months as well as days, and even leap seconds. And it is fascinating to follow this calendar history and contemplate its meaning. In fact, this calendar math can be quite fun. However, if you're math challenged like I am, it helps tremendously to have friends who are exceptionally talented accountants and bookkeepers. Here are a few more fun facts about the leapiness of our calendars. People born on February 29th are known as leaplings. The unofficial symbol and mascot of Leap Day is the frog. For those of us who work outside the home for fixed annual wages, we will be working for free tomorrow. In the United States, our presidential elections are held every 4 years, which often coincide with leap years, and likewise for the Summer Olympics. The city of Anthony, which straddles Texas and New Mexico, proclaims itself the leap year capital of the world. It holds a four-day festival every leap year to celebrate all leap year babies, with a parade followed by a big birthday party. In some places around the world, it's traditional to celebrate leap day with specific recipes, such as toad in the hole, four-layer cake, and brownies made with just four ingredients. There is an official leap day cocktail called the Leap Day Cocktail. It's a cousin of the martini, that was invented at London's Savoy Hotel in 1928 and is legendary for having been responsible for more proposals than any other cocktail ever mixed. So it advertises. In some cultures, Leap Day is accepted as a time for a woman to propose to her beloved, instead of waiting for her beloved to propose to her. And while that may seem romantic to me, it's another example of women earning less for the same job. There's also a leap year poem. 30 days have September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, save February. She alone hath 8 days and a score, till leap year gives her one day more. And one of modern spiritualism's forerunners was born on leap day, February 29th in 1736, she being Mother Ann Lee, leader of the Shakers. Mother Ann Lee is a leapling. This leapiness of our calendars as a way to keep them in sync with the earth, in tune with nature and aligned with our seasons, got me thinking about leaping and what it might mean for us to leap into our spirituality. Perhaps some of us approach our spiritual lives tentatively, thinking that they don't exist, or if they do exist, they don't matter. Or if they do matter, they don't matter here. They only matter later, after we die, and go to the heaven about which we've heard so much, but have yet to experience. Perhaps meeting our spiritual selves seems foreign because we're mired in our material world. And perhaps for some of us, we haven't yet understood that we are spirit, here and now. That we are spiritual beings having a human experience in a material world. That the material is infused with the spiritual. And that the material is a reflection of the spiritual. In her 1942 autobiography, Dust Tracks on a Road, writer and anthropologist Zora Neale Hurston wrote, "Mama exhorted her children at every opportunity to jump at the sun. We might not land on the sun, but at least we would get off the ground." For me, this is a profound illustration of the drive of the human spirit to move, to progress, to reach for goals, even when they seem far off and unattainable. Jump we must, because progress is the natural direction our spirits. Getting off the ground, the material ground, that's the work of our spirits. Jumping at the sun and reaching for the moon are aspirations that serve us well. Because as the saying goes, even if we miss, we will land among the stars. An extraordinary example of progress, both material and spiritual, was found in the experience of NASA's current administrator, Charles Bolden. In a recent interview with NPR's Morning Edition, Bolden shared that early in his life, he knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to attend the Naval Academy, become a midshipman, and have a naval career. In order to reach the Naval Academy, he needed a nomination from one of his state's representatives. And this is a significant but. Bolden was from South Carolina. And in 1963, not one of those representatives would even consider nominating a Black person to the Academy. Strom Thurmond told Bolden directly, and I quote, "No way are you going to get an appointment from me to go to the Naval Academy, period," end quote. Thurmond, with his segregationist views, flatly rejected Bolden's request for a nomination, and his colleagues likewise refused to help this bright, talented, and determined young man realize his dream. But instead of being defeated by those rejections, Bolden jumped at the chance to ask Vice President Lyndon Johnson for a nomination, because in addition to nominations from state representatives, everyone is eligible for vice presidential nominations to the Academy. And as a side note, only the children of armed forces personnel are eligible for presidential nominations to the Academy. But, and this is another significant but, President Kennedy was suddenly killed, and suddenly Vice President Johnson became President Johnson. Again, instead of being defeated by this tragic turn of events, Bolden jumped at the chance to ask President Johnson for his help securing an appointment to enter the U.S. Naval Academy's class of 1964. In the midst of the aftermath of Kennedy's assassination, Johnson followed through and sent a recruiter to meet the young Mr. Bolden, a visit that subsequently led to Representative William Dawson of Chicago appointing Bolden to the Naval Academy. Charles Bolden jumped for the sun, reached for the moon, and literally landed among the stars when he became an astronaut. Bolden earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Electrical Science in 1968 and was commissioned as second lieutenant in the Marine Corps. After completing flight training in 1970, he became a naval aviator and flew more than 100 combat missions in Asia. After the Vietnam War, Bolden earned a Master of Science degree in Systems Management from USC in 1977 and was assigned to the Naval Test Pilot School at Patuxent. He worked at the Naval Air Test Center until 1980, when he was selected as an astronaut candidate. Bolden's experience as a NASA astronaut included technical assignments as a safety officer. He was part of flight crew operations, including for Challenger, and he himself flew shuttle missions. After his final shuttle flight in 1994, Bolden left NASA to return to active Marine Corps duty as the Deputy Commandant of Midshipmen at the U.S. Naval Academy, coming full circle. In the late 1990s, Bolden served admirably as Commanding General of the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force, being promoted to his final rank of Major General in July 1998. He later served as the Commanding General of the 3rd Marine Aircraft Wing in San Diego, California, and retired from the Marine Corps in 2003. Major General Bolden was inducted into the U.S. Astronaut Hall of Fame in May 2006. President Barack Obama nominated Major General Bolden to be the 12th Administrator of NASA. He was confirmed by the U.S. Senate, and he began his duties as head of the agency on July 17, 2009, and he continues to serve in that capacity. During his interview with NPR, Bolden was asked about the discrimination he faced as a young man and how he felt about being the first African-American administrator of NASA. About the latter, he said it was unimportant. Unimportant if there was no second. He said, being first is okay, but if there is no second, it doesn't count. About the former, he said, and I quote, "Even people who seem to be evil or seem to be bad, deep down inside, they know what's right, and they want to do it, and they will try to find a way to make things happen, to make good things happen. I am the eternal optimist, and I am an idealist. I try to tell people all the time, especially young kids, just don't ever give up on a dream you have. If you are willing to study and work really hard, and you don't mind falling down and getting back up, if you're not afraid of failure, things are going to work." The twist to this story is that after Bolden got to the Naval Academy, for as long as Strom Thurmond lived, Thurman sent Bolden handwritten notes of congratulations at every milestone of his career, which Bolden took to mean that all people were capable of change. For Charles Bolden to have such a gracious and generous attitude toward the people who wronged him is both humbling and impressive. It's also inspirational. It is, I believe, God's grace in action. And for each of us to move in the direction of our dreams, who aspire to our greater good, to serve with compassion as our spiritual compass, that is our spiritual work. And whether we accomplish this step by step or jump by jump, we must at least get off the ground. On Leap Day tomorrow, February 29th, 2016, let's challenge ourselves to leap into our spirituality, to attune and align with infinite intelligence, divine source, and God's love. For our own spirit's sake, let us leap and embrace our spirituality. For all of us, I wish happiness by leaps and bounds, and I thank you all for your kind attention today. God bless.